From San Antonio, Texas, this is the Manly Training Podcast. I'm Eduardo Quintana, your host. I'm an author, I'm a speaker, and I'm the creator of manlytraining.com. I designed manlytraining.com to lead men to Christ and to honor and empower biblical manliness. If this is your first time, welcome aboard. You're in for quite a ride. Merry Christmas! Wow, what an awesome time of the year this is. Let me ask you a question. What does Christmas mean to you? Now wait a minute, before you just shout it out, think about it for a second and tell me what it really means to you personally. Now, I know that some of you are thinking about presents, and there isn't anything wrong with that. There isn't a kid that I know, young or old, who doesn't look forward to presents under the Christmas tree. Others are thinking about food and how at the first of the year you're going to commit to going on a diet. You may be thinking about family gatherings or there's parades and football, traveling, toys that need to be put together, and cards that need to be mailed out. Many of you may even be thinking that Christmas is all about Jesus. Uh-oh. I'm about to get myself into trouble right now, but I'm going to say it anyways. Christmas is not about Jesus. Life is about Jesus. Christmas is one of the times of the year that we, whether you're Christian or not, celebrate Him the most. So today, as we prepare for Christmas, I want to talk about the real Christmas story and the real meaning of Christmas. That's next on the Manly Training Podcast. Now, before we get started, I'd like for you to get a piece of paper and a pen. Go ahead and pause now. Get that piece of paper and pen and come right back. Pause. Okay, I hope you got that piece of paper and that pen because it's going to come in handy during this podcast. Now, this story may be familiar to some of you. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home, or maybe you remember going to a Christmas service sometime in your past, or you might even remember part of the story from the Charlie Brown's Christmas special that's on every year. Now, if you have a Bible with you, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, it reads like this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." The Magi are a huge part of the Christmas story. If you have a manger scene at home, chances are that there are three wise men, or Magi, as part of that set. A sad reality is that that set is biblically incorrect. We see later in Scripture that they come to the house where he is. Jesus is no longer in the manger where they arrive. We honestly don't even know how many Magi there were. Tradition tells us that there were three, only because they brought three gifts. In reality, when they arrived, they had this huge crowd traveling with them that attracted the attention of all the locals. Now, more important than the mistakes that we've placed on the nativity scenes and the traditions is the reality that you and I are like these wise men. You and I have a lot that we share in common with these people. I want you to write this down on that piece of paper I asked you to get. I want you to write, "I matter." That's right, I matter. I-M-A-T-T-E-R, I matter. I matter. You matter. You and I both matter to God. If you get nothing else out of today's message, I want you to get this. You matter. You're important. You want the true Christmas message? Are you sure you want the true Christmas message? You want the real reason that Christmas exists? The truth is that Christmas exists because you and I matter to God. It's not about presents. It's not about food or even about family. Christmas is about you and I being important to God. Now, there's a reason I wanted to use this particular portion of the Christmas story, because we are, every single person listening to this podcast, is somehow like these wise men. The wise men were searching. They knew that somehow there was something more out there than what they had right in front of them. And these men, they had everything. History tells us that they were kings. They had wealth just based on the gifts that they brought. And something in them had caused them to start searching, to be looking for something more. We know that they were looking at the stars to know what to do. They even tell us that in verse 2. It says, we saw his star in the east. It's important that you see this. Now, I know that there's a number of people who think that the Magi came from China. Most scholars, however, think that they actually came from Persia, which is modern-day Iran and Iraq. Between Persia and Israel, there are about 1,000 miles. Wow, that's a lot of miles. Now, there are a number of ways that you and I are similar to these wise men. First, I want you to know that the wise men were separated from God physically. We already discussed how there are about 1,000 miles separating Persia from Israel. At this time, Israel was where God worship took place. The Israelites were the only people in the whole world worshiping one God. Over in Persia, they worshiped multiple gods. In order for the wise men to worship God, they had to travel all the way to Israel. This is where the story gets confusing. You see, most people believe that based on the nativity scenes, the wise men were there the night that Christ was born. This isn't true. Most scholars believe that the trip from Persia to Israel took anywhere from 6 months to 2 years because the distance was so great. Now, some of you have been separated from God physically as well. You live in the United States or wherever you live in the world. I know this podcast is listened in several parts of the world. So you live there in Mexico. We got people in Brazil listening to this, people in England. You live there. You live in a community, and you probably pass churches all the time. You might even slow down a little bit to read the sign out in front. Some of them get pretty interesting and funny. But you haven't stepped foot inside a church in a while. For some of you, it may have been a full year. For others, it might be 5 or 10 years. Some people listening to this podcast may never have set foot inside a church in your entire life. You're just listening to this podcast to please a friend or to get them to leave you alone. And maybe you're going to go to church on Christmas for the same reason. You've been physically separated from God. Now, I'm not saying that a church is the only place where God is. He's everywhere. But most people never begin to understand anything about God until they begin coming to church on a regular basis. That would be more than just once a year, don't you think? Secondly, you and I are like the wise men because the wise men were spiritually separated from God. I just got done telling you that the Persian culture worshipped multiple deities. There was no connection with God at all. In Matthew 2:2, we're told that they were looking at the star when they saw it shining in the east. They were actively searching for something that was missing in their hearts. They knew that there was something more out there that they wanted to connect with. Some of you may have had that same feeling. There's an emptiness in your life that you just can't explain. Sometimes, when you're out in God's creation, if you've ever been camping or fishing, you're out there enjoying nature. You catch a glimpse of it. There's that moment when you know, and you know that nothing around you happened by accident. Then, as quickly as it comes along, it's gone again. And you're left wondering, what could possibly be missing? You're spiritually separated from God. Finally, the wise men were relationally separated from God. They didn't have a personal relationship with him. They didn't even know anything about him. In fact, the first place where they went when they arrived to Jerusalem was to the Jewish leaders. They believed that this newborn king would be among the leaders. They didn't know any better. They didn't know how to relate to who God is. Some of you are in this category right now, listening to this podcast. Okay, maybe you go to church every week, and maybe you have a decent knowledge of the Bible, but you don't have that personal day-to-day relationship with God. There's no connection there. You're not even sure that you want to have a relationship with God. If you have a relationship with God, that means that he might get involved in your life. He might even spend some time with you. But I'm here right now to tell you that the distance and separation between God and ourselves can come to an end right here, right now. You see, Christmas is a sign that you matter, The Magi mattered. Otherwise, they wouldn't have seen the star 1,000 miles away and chosen to travel where that star was. God put that star in the sky because they mattered to him. He brought you here to this podcast because you matter to him. You're listening to this right now because you matter to him. Christmas is ultimately a message that you matter to God. Now, get that page where you wrote down, I matter. You got it? Now, I want you to finish that sentence, and I want you to write this. To a Savior. Now, your sentence should now say, I matter to a Savior. What an awesome statement. I matter to a Savior. Let me ask you, what's the most popular verse in the Bible? Anybody? Anybody? Now, I know that somebody just thought of the Ten Commandments, and I'd be willing to bet, based on prior experience, that you probably don't even know where to find them. If you do, that's great. But I know somebody got it. It's John 3:16. John 3:16 is probably the best-known verse in the whole Bible. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Man, I've been thinking about this verse a lot recently. You see, I've got some great kids, and I really had to think about what this verse really meant, not only to me, but to God. He gave up his one and only Son. Can you imagine that? Now, being a father myself, I've really pondered this one. You see, I love my kids with all my heart, Eddie, Itzhak, and Joseph. Now, they're three people that I hold most dear in my life. If God were to come to me and tell me that in order for people to be saved, in order for them to go to heaven, I had to give up one of my children, I'm sorry to say this, but there's no way. I love my kids. There's no way I'd give them up for you. Now, I know some of you are thinking, I can't believe he just said that. All right, let's make it your kids and see if you're willing to give them up. Chances are, if you're a parent, especially if you're a mom, you're not going to give them up either. Now, I'm sure that God loved his Son, his one and only Son, and yet this same God was willing to give his own Son for you and for me. Now, this verse reads, "For God so loved," and I want you, instead of the word world, I want you to put your name there. For God so loved Tim. For God so loved Bob. For God so loved Linda. For God so loved Keith. I honestly believe, and I believe this most of my life, that if there had been only the need to save only one of these people, God still would have given up his Son. That's how much God loves you and me. That if it had been only you, Jesus still would have come. If it had been only me, he still would have died on that cross. He still would have been the Savior to only one of us. But the verse doesn't end there, does it? It says, "For God so loved Edward that he gave his one and only Son, that if..." Now here's the next blank that I want you to fill in with your name also. "That if Edward, that if Jeff, that if Becky, that if Tim believes in him, he shall not perish but have eternal life." You see, we have a Savior. He came for you and he came for me. Now, I want you to imagine this for just a moment. Jesus was in heaven. He knew the glory of his Father because he was side by side with God all the time. The angels sang his praises. Everything Jesus wanted, he had. He was surrounded completely by the wealth of heaven. Then, one day, he stood up and he started walking down the hallowed halls of heaven. Angels stopped and asked him, "Where are you going, Jesus?" "To earth," he replied. "To show them your glory?" they asked. "No, no, no," he said. "Are you going to go show them how God wants them to behave?" "No," Jesus answered, "not that either." "Are you going to be back for lunch at least?" "Nope, not this time," he said. And he came to earth, born as a baby, living as a man, and dying on a cross. He did this for the wise men. And he did this for you. And he did this for me. Because you matter to a Savior. There's only another small portion of that sentence that I want you to write down. And it's this: I matter to a Savior who is great and awesome. I matter to a Savior who is great and awesome. awesome. I told you very early into this message that the wise men had been looking at the stars. They were looking for the answers to all of life's questions. They were looking for what was missing in their lives. They too were looking for a savior. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was there in the creation of the world. He knew what happened. Over in Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." One really only has to look around to see just how great and awesome God is. Now, during my lifetime, I've traveled a little bit, and I've seen God's handiwork. Take the Grand Canyon, for example. He made that. Then there's the oceans. The Pacific washing up on primarily sandy shores, and the Atlantic with its small waves usually ending in rocky shoreline. There's the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, in all of their brilliant colors dancing across the sky, sunsets and sunrises, animals too countless to number, and flowers of every color. God made every single thing, but it says that He made the heavens too. Maybe that's why the wise men were looking at the sky. Just imagine what it would have been like if they had today's technology, the ability to see not only the stars as little more than pinpoints in the sky, but entire galaxies light years away, to see the details of the moon, to see comets as they leave their tails while racing across the sky. God knew that the day was coming that His Son would die on a cross for you and for me. How great and awesome is that? You see, the true message of Christmas isn't about all the things that we usually try to attach to it. Christmas is about you and it's about me. It's because you matter to a Savior who is great and awesome. It's because I matter to a Savior who is great and awesome. I want you to say that with me. I matter to a Savior who is great and awesome. Say it again. I matter to a Savior who is great and awesome. Now, I want to encourage you to get up early on Christmas morning and go to church. Our church is actually doing it earlier than usual. We usually go to church at 10:30 and we're done by noon. Our church is doing a 9 to 10 service. Now, I know this is a lot to ask for many people, but I want you to remember that you matter to a Savior who is great and awesome. Make that effort. I know you're going to get up, and I know you're going to open up presents, and I know you're going to want to have some breakfast, but make an effort to make it to church by 9 o'clock, well, if you're coming to my church, or whatever time your church is meeting on Sunday. Make an effort. Seek God, because that's what Christmas is all about. God, well, He says, you know what? You matter to me. Anyways, until next time, be a man.